Let's have a look at today's news, see if there's anything good in there. Okay, the first thing is that Israel pounds Gaza for a fourth day. Devotees should be somewhat clued into what Gaza is. It's a strip of land belonging to Palestinian people, which is surrounded on all sides by Israel. And it had democratically voted in a Hamas government. Hamas was a terrorist organization. That's one of the drawbacks of democracy. And so there was a ceasefire which expired just a few days ago. And since they'd been sending rockets regularly into Israel, Israel has now decided to destroy Hamas's infrastructure, government infrastructure, executive buildings, police buildings, all other administrative buildings, and there are hundreds and hundreds of people dead, thousands injured, and controversy as to whether this type of retaliation is really justified. And I'm looking at BBC, so looking a little further, here's some declassified papers which were top secret communique between Ministry of Defense and Prime Minister in the 70s. And it shows that the government was upset at the realization that it was completely inadequate to protect the people from an invasion by Russia. There are not enough ships, there's not enough airplanes, and even the airplanes only had 3 days, quote-unquote, 3 days worth of ammunition. Of course, the only other thing which the British had as a deterrent was the nuclear bomb. And I think that's primarily shot from submarines through missiles. Otherwise, if there was some kind of land force invasion, they managed to cross the canal, then England would have been a pushover. And interestingly enough, the situation was the same at the beginning of the Second World War. Hitler really badly calculated England's vulnerability. It had no substantial forces to withstand a invasion. Once again, the only thing in its favor at that time was not nuclear arms, but was the Navy, which was able to thwart a invasion across the Channel. So both of these articles are about people killing each other over different nationality, over difference of religion, over who is controlling some piece of land, which ultimately belongs to God, not to any race, religion, sect, or what have you. Well, let's go into the main news issue over the last 6 months, and that is how the economy's doing. And this is a little flashback over year 2008. Stock markets, which can be taken as a good indication of economic growth or the opposite. Well, there's been a very serious decline in the stock market in the developed countries. The worst case is Iceland. And get this, Iceland had managed to lose 97% of its currency value in the period of this year. That's in terms of dollars against the dollar. That means that if you had 100 kroner a year ago, that 100 kroner is now reduced to 3 kroner in terms of buying power. or that's how much that money is worth now. It may say 100, but it's only worth 3. And if you calculate it in terms of the kroner terms, not in terms of dollar, which is the international currency, then it's worth 94% of, so 100 kroner a year ago is worth 6 kroner right now. Can things get only better? Here the article says not necessarily, it could get worse. Inflation is at 18% globally, and the global economy is predicted to shrink by 10%. That's not very good. In certain countries, for instance Greece, you may have heard that there was a spate of civil unrest and rioting there just prior to the Christmas times. So there the market is down 66%. And other banks and businesses, for instance, Citigroup is down 80%. General Motors is down 90%. And the aluminum company of Air America, 74%. These are really, really bad. Who's doing better than last year? Whose shares are going up? Walmart, 13%, and McDonald's by 0.5%. People have to eat, and they're not particular about what it is that they're eating. So it's not a good forecast. And governments may try to pump money into the banking system, into the automotive industry, and shore up property prices. But ultimately, it's not a issue of simply economy. It's not an issue of buyer confidence. It's an issue of karma. The world is overloaded with karmic reaction, and that karmic reaction has to play out one way or the other. One way is that the karmic reaction comes and people suffer the results of their deeds. The other is that the karmic reaction is absolved. Aham tam sarva papebhyo. And because of their God consciousness, their Krishna consciousness, their change in lifestyle, their shutting down slaughterhouses, brothels, consuming of alcohol, changing their lifestyle to one which is based on need, not on want, then that's the other way of absolving oneself of karma. But probably if you look around the world, wherever you may be, you'll see that that's not the way things are going on. Therefore, the credit crunch must come. It's unavoidable. And not only it's unavoidable, but what about the other things that we're not paying attention to, like, for instance, global warming and the results of that global warming, which has really been eclipsed by this credit crunch, and possibilities of international conflict. There's so much conflict going on right now. This issue here in Gaza could very well be a focus point for that. What to speak of the fact that the Bombay massacres that took place are also a flashpoint for conflict between Pakistan and India. Pakistan has been moving its troops back to the Indian border. Okay, and the Prime Minister is also saying that he's against the change in the suicide law. Suicide meaning that if someone is very sick, very old, is suffering a lot from pain or just doesn't want to continue living, that the health services should allow them to and assist them to commit suicide. It's a very interesting point. And something worth also considering in Krishna conscious terms. Should we try to really continue and prolong life as much as possible? Or when someone decides that they want to give up their life, should we facilitate doing that? I would suggest that one direction of thought is that we are not of the belief that life should be prolonged as much as possible. On the other hand, we're also not of the belief that people should be just absolved of their karma by trying to escape it. I can give you one interesting example. Quite a long time ago, it was over 10 years ago, when I was in Vrindavan. And one dog had fallen sick and was dying just in the alleyway outside the house. And he was laying there and he was in pain and he was howling. And that went on for 3 days. And at one time I went out and I was speaking with our neighbor, Balaram Baba, and I said, well, why don't we put the animal out of its misery? Is that some kind of alternative, that he's just laying here and suffering and suffering? And he said, no, he's on his way back to Godhead. This is the karma that Krishna has given him. He gave him painkillers in order to ease the pain as much as worked, and kept him comfortable by covering him with a blanket. It was winter time. But he said, no, don't interfere with whatever his fate is. And I was listening to another conversation by Srila Prabhupada just some weeks back, and one devotee had brought up this incident of a girl who had went into a coma and was being kept alive by machines. And the question there was, should they keep her alive? And, you know, keeping alive means that the organs are functioning, but she's not, apparently not conscious in any way and doesn't reciprocate. And I think that had probably been going on for some years. And Srila Prabhupada's answer was, what's the problem to die? Why mechanically keep someone alive? You leave this body, you take another body according to your birth, according to your karma, excuse me. Why be excessively attached? So these are some thoughts on this idea of assisted suicide. And then there are many other headlines here. 2008, huge year for natural disasters. Who is to blame for the UK slowdown? Well, we've already commented on that. The National Health Service is fast losing its compassion, and the economic downturn boosts teacher numbers. In other words, you have to educate children. You need to keep them off the streets, even in a recession. Otherwise, they'll turn into mobs. So now people are thinking that rather than financial services and computer technology, they're looking into teaching as being a good job. Is it because they want to give children the truth? Is it because they want to educate them? Or because they're looking for financial stability? Anyway, I'm sure you have an answer to that. We'll be in touch tomorrow. Tomorrow morning I'll be going to Budapest and the following day to the UK. Hare Krishna, everyone, and Happy New Year.